Da lantren ge lantren adi shaka lantren nalu lan namba sanji bi chuk ne chu wadin ji sung war sa mar ba ne ne sung du nge ne sung du nge nga du gabyo ma ji dang nga su du nge kal gabyo ma re ne sung du nge kal gabyo ma re ne sung du nge ka ne ne la da mal je ba ina ne nga du gabyo war sa yo ba na ji ne sanji ge ne sung du nge ka ne la da mal je wa ne a ge ne yuji sung bo res tele chebu chungu da tumo chegu chungu da tumo la res gres de gar gar yo res na ane go chu sung la jo sun ru go ne ane le de ya bu sung de ne a ga su gre de ba la sha dong ya bu che ba ina ane dun ro la dong man ru res wa de ta ma ding sa res
Down through the deepa sha ledre. The tamche trees. So we've been going over the lamp, the great master Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment, and this encompasses the nature of all Buddhist dharma. All of Buddhist teachings can be found in an abbreviated format in this text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. And there are various sections of scope relative to the type of being or type of practitioner who has the ability to do these practices, beginning with teachings that are shared in common with beings of small capacity, or teachings for beings of small capacity. And these teachings are for those who recognize the suffering of the lower realms and wish to be free from the suffering of the lower realms of the hell, hungry ghost, and animal beings, and then sees the pleasant states that the gods and humans abide in, and then seeks to have rebirth in those higher realms. So this type of person is called a being of small capacity, and this type of person is one who wishes to definitely get out of the lower realms and wishes to be born into the higher realms. So what has been taught as a method to achieve these results? The Buddha taught that it was very important to have a solid foundation in refuge, solid understanding of the law of cause and effect, or karma and its results, and acknowledgement of one's downfalls or confession. So these practices are necessary in order to abandon the causal factors for rebirth into the lower realms. And if one's sole motivation is to achieve rebirth into the gods or humans realms and wishes to abandon the lower realms, and this is their sole aim or motivation, then this type of practitioner is called a being of small capacity.
Oje da rimba nyeba de le chibun din da thumo yin la ji rimba thime da thumo yin la ji rimba se gres o de le gar zu gore sana la da mal ji ba yin na ya ane gar zu gore dan da dung ye yo ar sin ya thung dung ye da yo ma re de la da mal ji ba yin na ji dung ye ga yi dung ye na chi dung ye la su ba dung ye ji dung ye ju yi dung ye wa de ne ge cha ban du ji ge dung ye la su ba to su ga lo mal yo ar la le yo ar s tin yin su da Ani wate chaban du yiji du nge mate na ane taba tutugu mare ane taba lruya tawchi tsungu waris ta taba lruya tawchi karisi na doni dubi shira gulaba doni lami bitingaji gulaba chuti gulaba sungu nyala jigi na tene taba lruya taba tutugu waris wate tsungu waris
So the next level of motivation is the practitioner who recognizes not only the downfalls and the sufferings of the lower realms, but also recognizes the suffering of the higher realms. He or she recognizes that even the gods and humans have to have the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. And no matter where in cyclic existence one abides, they beings always have the pervasive compounded suffering. So no matter what, if one is in cyclic existence, he or she necessarily has pervasive compounded suffering. So we can even see in our case now as a human, the various types of suffering that we have to endure. As stated before, the suffering of birth, aging, sickness, and death, the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, the pervasive compounded suffering. So this medium scope practitioner recognizes the type, all of these types of suffering, especially the pervasive compounded suffering, pervade all of cyclic existence, and wishes to definitely get out of all six realms of cyclic existence and achieve liberation. So what is the method for one to be able to definitely get out of even the pervasive compounded suffering, which pervades all of cyclic existence? It's a practice of the three higher trainings, the higher training in wisdom, the wisdom which is focus is emptiness, the higher training in concentration, and this type of concentration is single-pointed concentration whose object of observation is emptiness, and the higher training in ethics. So these three higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom together allow this type of being of medium capacity to achieve liberation for him or herself alone. So these are indispensable on the path to liberation or nirvana. These three higher trainings are indispensable on the path to liberation or nirvana for the medium scope practitioner.
That jibun ding is good, but that din the tumu yun laji rinpa ane tuni kuwa kuyu dungen dan nyo mobil tawa la ane tuni dubi shiro karijin kungwa res jiba yina te jusen teres ane nruwa ritu li chine dungen nyo dega dungen tuzuk nga lo jukun yun la ten shunga res te nyo mo nyōmō tē dēnzīng lā tēn shōng tuyō rēs. Chū nā dēbā trūkān tsibī dēnzīng kē jū shēbā lā tēn nē, anī nyōmō tē lē sā nō kuwa lō kuwa tuyō rēs. Chū nā dēbā mā rūpa tē shē sō nā, anī dēnzīng kē nyēbī shē nō rēs. Dēnzīng kā sō nā, nyōmō kā nō kā lē kā nō kā rē, dōngēng kā nō kā rē, tāpā yō nō rēs.
So how is it, what is the reason that this understanding of the nature of reality or emptiness and the concentration which uses as its object of observation emptiness or the nature of reality. What is the reason? The reason is that all six realms of cyclic existence, the root cause is the grasping at true existence. So the grasping at true existence is what causes one to create the other afflictions and the actions and so forth, which cause the predispositions for rebirth into the six realms of cyclic existence. So the actual wisdom realizing emptiness serves as an antidote to this mistaken conception that requires this mistaken perception which requires one to grasp at true existence. So if one then focuses on the antidote for this, it can slowly be eradicated. And if this is eradicated, then the other things which it causes will also be necessarily be eradicated. So if one eradicates the grasping at true existence by applying the antidote of the wisdom realizing emptiness, then the afflictions and the actions and so forth that grasping creates are no longer present or possible. So one is able to achieve liberation or nirvana. And these are called teachings that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity.
Chuna dhamma dhruvan zibi dhenzi dhulu lu shi res, thaba dhruvan zibi lu nabu res. Chuna dhamma madhruva shibi dhuni dhubi shira thaba dhruvan yinba shibi lu nabu res, lu dhamma res, ku dhenzi lu nabu res.
So this mistaken conception or wrong view that misapprehends the nature of reality and grasps at true existence is very similar to one walking into a room and misapprehending a rope and believing it is a snake. At that moment, there is a wrong consciousness, a wrong view. There is a mistaken view at that moment. But once one recognizes that rope is actually a rope and is not a snake, then the mistaken concept or view is eradicated, and the fears and so forth that follow from that mistaken view are also eradicated. Likewise, once one recognizes the true nature of reality, then the mistaken views which follow from the original mistaken view are also not produced.
Oje dad laba sun gomala den nyomo pontu gure dungen pontu gure de ina nyomo bacha pontu gumares bacha da mabun na sanje tu gumares bacha bombal garu gosen teba chimbi chullo jang shanchu gsen da shamba da kinje tu lo jang gores.
So this medium scope practitioner who relies upon this highest higher training and wisdom is able to eradicate this grasping at true existence, which is then eradicates the afflictive obstruction. So then he or she is able to achieve the state of nirvana or liberation. But the imprints of the afflictive obstructions or the obstructions to omniscience are not eradicated and cannot be eradicated by focusing solely on this type of wisdom. It needs to be coupled with some sort of method or mind that aspires to enlightenment. And if it is coupled with that, then the being is no longer a being of medium capacity or a medium scope practitioner. Then he or she becomes a great scope practitioner. So the great vehicle teachings rely upon both of these things, that is the method and wisdom. And by relying on these, he or she is then able to eradicate not only the afflictive obstructions, but also the obstructions to omniscience, which are the afflictive obstructions imprints or predispositions that are remainder from the actual afflictive obstructions themselves.
Shari bodo zunga lo teme dajung baris, nyomu ponsare, dunga ponsa baris. Yine ya kuzhu nyomu bacha mabu mabu yinsong zang, anna sanje re guo maris, sanje bala, anna shanchu senle jang guo baris.
So, Mugipu and Shariputra, or I believe it's Kashapa and Mugiputra.
Mugiputra.
I forget, Mugiputra, I forget the actual name.
Okay.
Mugiputra and Shariputra were two beings who were arhats, or foe destroyers, but they were Hinayana foe destroyers, or lesser vehicle foe destroyers. So they were not fully realized Buddhas, and the reason that they were not fully realized Buddhas is because of what was previously explained.
What the Kutu Timmy Dajuma in a Sanje Matuba in Sunda, Sanje Balgarugosna, Yomu Baja Gumpongure, Sanchu Sanjangures, or the Sungures.
So, what is it that made it impossible for this foe destroyer, the Hinaya, lesser vehicle foe destroyer, to achieve Buddhahood? The reason is that their realization was not coupled with the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta. So with a lack of bodhicitta, then it is not possible to achieve the state of unsurpassable true complete enlightenment or Buddhahood. It's necessary to have both the union of the wisdom realizing emptiness and the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta. So this is indispensable on the path, the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And this is what allows the imprints of the afflictive obstructions to be eradicated. So how does one produce or generate the mind that aspires to enlightenment in his or her continuum? It can be generated by two causal factors taught by two different lineages. The first lineage was passed down through the extensive deeds lineage by the Lord Maitreya. And this was called the 7-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta. And this particular path or teaching had six causal factors and one result. The six causal factors are as follows. Recognizing that all sentient beings are our mothers, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness, love through the force of attraction, great compassion, the extraordinary attitude. These six causal factors produce the actual Mahayana mind generation, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, which is the number 7 in the 7-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta. So the reason it's called cause and effect is because six causes are present and one effect. This was passed down by Lord Maitreya to a Sangha.
Oh, that's the next shoot in the Karzagore. dajen nyaba jeyugun sen jebi suji sungu waris, rang jenzil jun yu waris, jen jenzil yun ten yu waris. Wadi jenzil nyingi jun yun sanbi gu ni ane shang chugu sen lo jang ju ji sungu waris.
Si nika, de tama gare sungu
waris. Rang jenzil jun yu waris.
De shingi yu, yun e tama.
Jen jenzil yun ten yu waris.
De shingi yu.
Wadi nyingi yun ten yu wadu gu ni ane shang chugu sen lo, shang chugu sen yu ji gong gen, wadi rima ji yu waris.
Dali
dajen nyaba jeyugun sen jebi suji du du la shun diri.
Jenda Lama Son. So this particular Yanjar Sunana.
Rajin Dajin Yaba Jigun Saint Jesus. What the young Shanju Saint Lujan to Kagaji waters.
Okay.
What the condition was in the Rajivan Zimjin the Junior waters. And then Toma Mevan Daddy, but Dungan Yodu were the Rajin Zimjin waters. Ane yin jeba zina pyoen shebo re san je dang, da jung ba dang, shang chu sen ba dang, dewa tang je yin jeba zimi zin zin le dine shung yuwa res, o tende san dang ne, an shang chu sen lu shang su ju yuza res.
So the second, I apologize for that, the second type of teaching that was passed down from the great Lord Manjushri in the Profound View lineage is called equalizing and exchanging self and others. And the main focus of this teaching is the recognition of the downfalls of a self-cherishing attitude and the recognition of all of the excellent qualities of cherishing others. And seeing that since the beginningless time, we have been propelled into cyclic existence by our self-cherishing attitude. And all of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have achieved their levels of realization because they have chosen to cherish others. So we can see the difference. So all the happiness that we have ever experienced has been a result in some way of cherishing others. And all forms of unhappiness or suffering that we have to endure has been because of a self-cherishing attitude. So we can see the importance of exchanging these two types of attitudes in order to achieve a more realistic outlook. And if we can do this and we can focus on this practice of recognizing the downfalls of this self-cherishing attitude, and we can then generate an attitude which cherishes others, then we will be able to achieve eventually the Mahayana mind generation itself, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, bodhicitta. So once one has this mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, once this has been generated, then he or she is called a bodhisattva. Once he or she has bodhicitta, they are called a bodhisattva. And they have entered the Mahayana path, or the great vehicle path, once this Mahayana mind generation has taken place. From that point, then, there are two choices. There are two vehicles within the great vehicle tradition. There is the perfection vehicle and the esoteric vehicle, or the tantric vehicle. So, and then also a focus on the three higher trainings is important as well. Focus on the highest higher training in ethics, the highest training in concentration, and the highest training in wisdom. So these are necessary to focus on in order for the progression on the path for the great vehicle practitioner.
So there
is a great importance of the practice of the six perfections. So the six perfections are indispensable on the path. So the perfection vehicle relies upon the three higher trainings and the six perfections. Then the Ju Kandre, Kangisena Shintu Dru. Then a lapasum. Then a the
lapasum the tulankas you are, lapasum julankas you are, tulankas mulul gulankas you are, shindu tulankas you are, julankas nagal you are, or the ninjan leje
then juke are shene.
Jo, juke on this.
The shin ngama chiran labson the parshin ju the
paru de shin ba cho je ba shin na parin ju ba cho
ju ga ga shin a ju
the self of your mind sis bar ba shin tru ro de ni
labason som
labason zog ma re
ga
ane ishe ji paru de shin ba mhalo ji paru de shin ba to ji paru de shin ba od ne ge parshin je tru ba ja yo re
ale
od de
the je je lamas okay so
je de yo chungwa ma ale lo lo shan de parshin ju se lon de
so I was just unclear, but it wasn't listed. I just wanted to make sure. So there are there is the practice of the 10 perfections, the 6 perfections, and then the 4 excellences. The 4 excellences weren't listed, so that's why I got confused. So the making it a total of the 10 perfections for a practitioner in the perfection vehicle.
Tony la maybe shiro gure, Tony la maybe tingens gugure, chuti lava gugu was, what the lovers would gugu is, Timmy lovers only shabbat babar is.
So, when we look at the 3 higher trainings of the lesser vehicle practitioner, it's different than the 3, in a sense, because of motivation, than the 3 higher trainings that the practitioner of the great vehicle would engage in. But it is necessary for the great vehicle practitioner to have the higher trainings, the higher training in wisdom, which uses as its objective or focal point emptiness and a concentration or a single-pointed concentration whose object of observation is emptiness and the ethical behavior. So all of these things are indispensable for the great vehicle practitioner as well.
Lusub tembu gures, tingens a pomba temba, tingens tunilam, tingens a tembu gures, and the shero lava, tendamaji, what does sonsona, and the new moba da, shiddi da, what does moyag nubal him overis.
So it's the possible to eradicate the afflictive obstructions and the obstructions to omniscience by reliance upon these different practices. So the 3 higher trainings are compared to one's ability to cut a tree. It's necessary to have a very stable body in order to cut a tree, because one couldn't do so if the body wasn't very stable. So this is compared to the higher training in ethics, which serves as the foundation or the body for the rest of all of the practices. So the next, it's necessary if one wishes to cut something to have a strong arm. If one doesn't have a strong arm, then it's not possible to swing the sword or axe or whatever one is using as their cutting device. So this strong arm is compared to the higher training in single-pointed concentration or concentration. And then one must also have some sort of blade or axe or chainsaw, some sort of device, cutting device, to cut down the tree. So it's necessary to have all 3 of these things in order to cut down a tree, and this cutting device is compared to the higher training in wisdom. So we have the higher training in ethics, which is similar to the body, higher training in concentration that is similar to the arm, and the higher training in wisdom, which is similar to the sword or axe. And if all of these 3 things are present, relative to cutting a tree, the tree can be cut. And if all of these 3 things are present, then it's possible, if coupled with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, to achieve the state of Buddhahood through the path of eradication of afflictive obstructions and obstructions to omniscience.
Da lando chuti loba chinchabare, tingajik loba de chinchabare, tanga ju shero loba khatu de diwares.
So at this point in the lamp for the path to enlightenment, we've already gone through the higher training in ethics, and we've already gone through the higher training in concentration, and we've arrived at the higher training in wisdom. So we will be delving into that section again today, and that I believe the Jip Ju Je Dun got it.
English 47.
I believe we're at 47.
47 number.
Number 47.
What the inch 47 taji lo da no kuzung kuzung no pombo kan da jie jie da.
Okay.
pombo khanda
je chanka
angel lo ne abur
nge angel lagi ne ne the
pombo khanda je je nar wa photi sabe pombo khanda je je na jawab me ba tun ju
rajin tun ji khanda je che nam okay so I will read 47. Understanding emptiness of inherent existence through realizing that the aggregates, constituents, and sources are not produced is described as wisdom.
Mm-hmm. ane zo deba ma ruba da deba ma ruba wa tu su nga lo shero 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 ne bun na pom pom nga ta tu ka deba ma ru ma ru zo gun wa wa de tu ni tu shero tsung du wa res
so there are many different kinds of wisdom when we look at the wisdom which cognizes or understands any type of phenomena or an understanding of any type of phenomena is called wisdom. But the best type of wisdom, and the wisdom that we're speaking of, is the wisdom which realizes emptiness, or the wisdom realizing emptiness. And so this type of wisdom recognizes that the I is not truly established, the I is not truly existent, the person or being is not truly established or not truly existent, and nor are the skandhas or aggregates. So this type of wisdom which recognizes the emptiness of all phenomena, phenomenon is the highest type of wisdom and the wisdom that is described in this particular section. So this highest, the higher training in wisdom is a recognition that all phenomena dependently originate, and because of this dependent origination, they rely upon a collection of parts. So this collection of parts comes together, a collection of various things comes together and then is named or imputed on as this or that, or nominally designated as this or that. And there is no inherent this or that exclusive in any phenomena. So the understanding of this and recognition that because things dependently originate, they form a collection, and this dependent origination serves as the correct sign that, that it is not truly established. It serves as the reason for it not being truly established or not being truly existent.
Kanza gutsu tende yinsa deba ma ruba de, kanza deba ma ruba de, kanza ga dames la guwaris. Oma thanju o sheja jiba yina, ane nabi dhota ma wadzu, ranju ba meche deke, kanza ga dames ya tsu dan, chuji dames ya tsu cheba yuwaris. Ane, oma thanju yu kanza ga dames, chuji dames na, deba ma rubi tuni li jaba jiba res. Tani ni cheba karis na, kanza deba ma ruba de, kanza dames gres. Kanza mayin bi chue denpa ma dhruva dhila chue ji dhame sikris. Dhame ndon dhin dhruva nan dhru shiri. Chue dhan kanza yi na nyi songs. Wad badin dha atrapa wad dhru songon dhuwa. Sanji ki dhame ba nyi song ba dhe, dhame ba nyi song yuwa aris. Nyi dhe kazi sinna kanza denpa ma dhruva. Senchu bi sik marwe. Senchu bi sik gure.
Kansak being.
Being denpa ma dhruva. Senchu bi denpa ma, being denpa ma dhruva dhila kanza ki dhame song yuwa aris. Being mayin bi chu deba maruba de chu ji dame sung sanje ge sung ba re
san san person kansak person san san being nicha chipa
yeah, okay.
We look at okay, I'm going to break this all up so it makes sense. And we look at the tenet systems and the tenet systems, if we look at the middle way consequence school, there is a little bit of a different view in the Madhyamika Prasangika from the Madhyamika Svatantrika view. So the middle way consequence school and the middle way autonomy school have a difference of opinion. The middle way autonomy school's understanding of selflessness of person or selflessness of being is different than that of the Prasangika view. So here we'll explain according to the highest view, which is the Madhyamika Prasangika view, or the middle way consequence school. The belief is that there is selflessness of person and selflessness of phenomena, and the emptiness of the person and the emptiness of the phenomenon are the selflessness of person and selflessness of phenomenon. The way that the Madhyamika Prasangika view differentiates these two things is by stating that that which is person is necessarily the selflessness of person, and that which is anything is phenomena and other than person is selflessness of phenomena. So we can find in the Madhyamika Avatara by Chandrakirti, the entrance to the middle way, where Chandrakirti states that all phenomena which are not person are necessarily selflessness of phenomena, and that which is person is selflessness of being or person. So this is the way the Madhyamika Prasangika view breaks up or divides the different kinds of emptiness up, being and non-being, relative to phenomena. So this is the way that it is explained that emptiness is explained according to the Prasangika view. The emptiness is divided into the emptiness of person and emptiness of phenomena.
Chanda kati chi, shang chin dewa, tsu ki zhung li kanza ka dhamme, tshu chi dhamme, o tanda sondu na, bing dhamma ma rupa dhala kanza ka dhamme kukwa res. And bing ma yinbi, tshu dhamma ma rupa dhala, tshu chi dhamme ba kukwa res.
So we can look at, we can find this reasoning in the Buddhist teachings. We can find it in the teachings of Nagarjuna. We can find it in the teachings of Chandrakirti, find it in the teachings of Shantideva, and Arya, Nagarjuna's spiritual son, Aryadeva. So we can find all of these meanings according to the middle way consequence view in the texts by these great authors. And they all state that the emptiness of phenomena and emptiness of person are different only because the emptiness is the same, but the difference is that the emptiness of person is called selflessness of person or selflessness of being. Person and being here are interchangeable, that's why I use both. And selflessness of phenomena. So that which is non-being and phenomena is necessarily selflessness of phenomena. That which is being and phenomena is necessarily selflessness of being or person. So you can find this also in English. You can find it in Pabunka Rinpoche's Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand. You can find it in the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment by Lama Tsongkhapa, and specifically in the section on calm abiding in Lama Tsongkhapa's text, you can find explanations of this, as well as the Lan Rim Chemo, Namdru La Jan Dang. And then here in this text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, by Atisha, we can also find explanations of this.
Less so. tene ya chuji dame ngel ji ga za ga dame shu gu shi chu gu shi ya ge pa cha zu ge ka ni yong gu res dan dan de chuji dame ngel su ng du was
So according to Buddha, and in various texts, we can find a little differences of understanding of how the wisdom realizing these things take place. Some scriptures we can find where it states that first one recognizes the selflessness of person, and then once the selflessness of person is recognized, then the selflessness of phenomena is recognized. In other texts, we can find it states where that first the selflessness of phenomena is recognized, then the selflessness of person is recognized. So we find that these two different opposing ideas in different scriptures, but it really doesn't matter because the selflessness itself and the emptiness of these things is the same emptiness.
Ta omi bacha nalu le kanza ga dame chuji dame ni de nge le kanza ga dame shegre chuji dame shegres toba mo bu yores bacha kashi nal nge le chuji dame nge le du gures chuji dame she de ne kanza ga dame shugu she gures bacha kashi nal le tomo kanza ga dame she de ne chuji dame she gures de ma da sun gures
And even in the Madhyamika Prasangika school, the middle way consequence school, we can find some scriptures that say, yes, first one recognizes the selflessness of person or being, and then once this recognition of selflessness or being takes place, then the selflessness of phenomenon can be realized. Then other scriptures state that first the selflessness of phenomenon must be realized, and then once the selflessness of phenomena is realized, then at that point the selflessness of person is realized. So we can find these different ideas in different scriptures.
Tapacha kashi dambu ganza ga dame she gores, ten chuji dame kar, kun karres na sanje ga son duwas, chetare chuji da ge du she ne, she ba du shin kun la lu je sha, cheta de pu na dambu ganza ga dame ba she, ten ne ganza dame ba na ji, chu ta ji dame ba she gores, son duwas, ten yin son san ganza ga dame ngol she gores, ten ne chuji dame she gores, pacha kashi lo de son res.
So some books do state that first, person recognizes the selflessness of being or person. Then that recognition of the selflessness of person, the recognition of the nature of this selflessness then turns to all phenomena. And then that same exact formula is applied to all phenomena, and then the selflessness of phenomena is recognized through the first recognizing the selflessness of person. So we can find texts that state that that's the process.
That person is not a big gaza damning elishu, which damning as she was in the chabayo mar majid, but a moje. Gaza damning elishi, chuji damishu, she won't give you. Chuji damning elishi, gaza dame, shugu she won't give you orders, or the ane karsubre. Mushi would be the Majis and then Gaza damning elishi can yore, shugu she can yore, chabayo mar.
So if we move to Penchen Sonandrapa, who is the textbook writer for Lo Tzu Ling, he states that there are four permutations or four possibilities. And translators note, four permutations, three permutations, mutually exclusive, synonymous, these are all debate terms. So states that there are four permutations or four possibilities. Penchen Sonandrapa says it doesn't matter if you recognize the selflessness of person first, or you recognize the selflessness of phenomena first. He states that there are some who recognize person first and some people who recognize selflessness of phenomena first. And this is why these individual authors have said that this is the process, because that has been their experience. So Penchen Sonandrapa states that there are four possibilities. And the way that works is there is something which you put two topics together, and do you have something which is A but not B? Do you have something which is B but not A? Do you have something which is both A and B? And do you have something which is neither A nor B? If you have all of those, that's four permutations. If there's only one of those is missing, then it becomes three permutations. If there's not a common locus, then this is called mutually exclusive. And if there is all of them are the same, if A is always B and B is always A, then it's synonymous. So that's Just a quick translator's note on what the four permutations means, because I know that most people haven't studied debate and wouldn't know that term. So if anybody wants to know more about that, you can see me after class, but I wanted to add that in to explain it, because Rinpoche didn't expand on four permutations, and I know that no one would know what that was.
Pompo nga kan juje jeje juni chwe du zung ngolo denpa ma ruwa re. Pompo kan dan jeje na gyawa meba to jubi rangin dungin sheba ne shera jene yung su shi is. Labi shera jila ba de kante sha gu resi na pompo nga dan jeje kan juni kan juje dan jeje juni ki chwe du zung ngolo denpa jubi gyawa meba tubi shera de la dungin sheba de la ane shera se resi. Labi shera jila ba se kente wote sha gu resi.
So here it says, understanding emptiness of inherent existence through realizing that the aggregates, the five aggregates, the constituents, the 18 constituents, and the six sources are not jeche dru.
Jeche juni is in the
juni, I'm sorry, and the 12 sources are not produced. So this is what is explained as wisdom. So this is basically stating that understanding that aggregates, constituents, and sources are empty of inherent existence is called wisdom. So that's basically what is stated here or meant by Lord Atisha. So here it says not produced. What is the meaning here of not produced? Obviously they are produced. If a child has parents, the child is born, a child is produced. If a tree or a tree grows, it came from a sprout and is produced from the ground and so forth. So it doesn't mean that it wasn't produced literally. The meaning is that it was not inherently produced. There was no inherent existence or exclusive production that was exclusive of or beyond its collection. So that's the meaning here. It does not mean that it wasn't produced, because that would be nihilism. The meaning here is that it is not inherently produced. There is no inherent or truly a true establishment in its production.
Ane tonye la mebi tujung ki shera, sanjung ki shera, gongjung ki shera song yuwa res, song yung res, marwa, shera song.
So,
tujung gongjung.
When we look at the recognition of the nature of reality or the recognition of the nature of phenomena, we can see that we acquire this type of wisdom through three levels or the three types of wisdom. The wisdom arisen from hearing, the wisdom arisen from contemplation, and the wisdom arisen from meditation. And contemplation can be called analysis also. So the three types of wisdom are from hearing, analysis, and meditation. So one arrives at the wisdom realizing emptiness through this process of hearing, analysis, and meditation. In that order.
Tony Lamy, two young shares against Gandes and that Tony is against Gandes Jaguars. Tony de Luguaya of Chasuna, one day Tony is against the Segui over in Guachasuna, then two young is. Then the Jusella then Tony to be Jeva Samad Jesuna, Sanjung shares of Marbe, Sanjung shares of this.
J-Pod. Okay. So when we look at these types of wisdom, the first type of wisdom, if one hears, for instance, let me start over here. If one hears some sort of explanation, and the words that are spoken, the main object of those words that are spoken is emptiness. And a very good explanation of emptiness is given. And then one hears this, and then through hearing it, it comes into one's continuum, the wisdom arisen from hearing. And then one takes that, one has heard, and processes it, and engages in analysis. And through that analysis, one can arrive at the wisdom arisen from analysis or contemplation. And that's very similar to inferential prime cognition, or Jaipag Tsema. So inferential prime cognition is brought about through first having the wisdom arisen from hearing, and then engaging in analysis. So then once one engages in that analysis enough, one can arrive at the inferential prime cognition, which is the second level of wisdom. And then we'll move to the next level.
Waji da doni la me bi tujung ge shera da sanjung ge shera ni bi de ji ji gung ru ji ne gung ba ju sen san da ne ju sen la de ne doni ya ne ya de san da ba de le ji gung se ge ji gung ji da gung se ge de gung ja ye dun de ni ya ne ya de san da ba de le gung se ge de san ju ge sen ya ya agen agen ting ya bu de ji de gung se ge de de na ji de ba ma ru ba de le ya ne ya de san da ba yi na gung se ge de
less
gung se ge de ya ne ya de sen ba da ge dang ge du gong bi lang si ta to ni gong yong du ju sen la ten ne to ni ya ne ya de san da ba de le jie gong se ge de de tujung ge she ra da san jung ge su yo re si
So when we look at familiarization or meditation, and the two kinds of meditation, of single-pointed meditation and analytical meditation, this wisdom that is arisen through hearing and through analysis falls into the category of analytical meditation when we look at the two types of meditation. So this analytical meditation requires one to use reasons and requires one to use signs and reasons to establish this incontrovertible view or incontrovertible inferential prime cognition. So one uses reasons and familiarizes oneself with it. So for instance, if one is familiarizing him or herself with bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, he or she will use many reasons and engage in analysis to think of the different kinds of bodhicitta and so forth to be able to arrive at an inferential understanding of the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Likewise, if one turns that focus and uses emptiness as the object of observation of that analysis, then one can have the wisdom that is arisen through analysis relative to the wisdom arisen through analysis whose object of observation is emptiness. This arises through repeated thinking and through repeated analysis. So these first two types of wisdom produce inferential prime cognition, and these are produced by analytical meditation, one of the two kinds of meditation.
Ta tyosan ji ji ne gu ba ta to ni ru bi ta an da le do ta an da to ni ru bi ta an da mo yo ar es ta na lang zhen ge su ta an da song 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 de song na ge za ta an da song de zhe ba le jue ba yu mei jing gu ge ten si jue le jue ba du ji zhen mi ten si gong le jue ba ji de zhe ge ten si ta an da ren ba song song du ji dan ta an da ta an da song
So there are three types of correct sign according to this particular text, according to Atisha. So when we look at inferential prime cognition, that comes about through reliance upon a correct sign. So here, Rinpoche is going to explain the three correct signs that are stated in this particular text. And we're going to have to go slow. I'm not familiar with this.
That's what it is.
So the first correct sign can be found in the 48th stanza. Then it says, something existent cannot be produced, nor something non-existent, like a sky flower. These errors are both absurd, and thus both of the two will not occur.
Ta jusen kanda san ta pa na nga su phombu nga la san ta na ndi gar wa phombu nga zo ji phombu chu ye ji su gu ma re ba ala zo ju bombu ju jin demba dubare demba marubare is na demba marubare is zo demba marubare is zo demba maruba yimi ju sen karis na zo de jul jare de ju dus yo maris ju dus yo ba ju dus yo maris ju dus yo ba demba marubare is zo de ju dus me ba demba marubare is zo de ju dus yo ba na me ba ni ga yim ba demba marubare is zo de ju dus yo ba na me ba ni ga ma yim ba demba marubare me je zo no me je zo de ju dus ayo yo marwa Zu chi chen.
So why is it that these things are not truly established or not truly existent? They are not truly existent, and we can go through it using four different permutations. We can use different reasoning. So let's look at the five aggregates, for instance. Let's focus on the form aggregate. So the subject, the form aggregate, is it inherent, is it truly established or is it not truly established? And the answer is it's not truly established. So when we state this, we have to come up with the correct sign for a proper statement. So the subject form is not truly existent. Now the next part of that formula needs to be the reason, because of this. So this is the way that a dialectical conversation would take place, or a debate would take place. The subject form is not truly existent, or is it truly existent? So the answer would be it's not truly established, it's not truly existent. Then one needs to state a reason. And you can say because its causes are not truly existent, its causes are not not existent, its causes are existent, and there is something which is neither its causes nor it. So you can see that it'll fall into four permutations. And here, Rinpoche, Ju Chi Dang Karma Junga, Chapter the Kagudu.
Okay, that you said the same shit in the matter.
Yabudu.
That's Zoot Deba Marubarawa. Zoot Deba Maruba is not Ju Duzo, Ju Duzo Yena Deba Marubarawa. Zoot Deba Maruba is Ju to the Mena Deba Marubarawa. You're the member Niga in a Deba Marubarawa. Niga, you may Niga Maimba. Ine dema marubaro. Tein sono zo dema marubaro is. Buna naki mudu jins. Pumbu karza, yoba jiwa rimi de, meba on naki mudu jins. Zo chu dema maru de, juyu tuzu yoba tuntoma maru, juyu tuzu meba tuntoma maru. Yome niga ima dema maru. Yome niga ma ima dema maru bishirir. Buna naki mudu jins. Nakal mudu yomaro. Dema yomaro, o dito yaro.
So here it states something existent cannot be produced, nor something non-existent, like a sky flower. So here the subject form is not produced because its causal factors are not produced. Its causal factors are not not existent. Its causal factors are existent. There's something which is both its causal factors and the itself, and that's the moment. There's something which is the causal factors and itself, and there is something which is neither. So we can see that there are four permutations relative to this, and we can state that the reason for its existence but lack of true existence is because it exists, it is not not existent, but it is not truly established because its causes are not truly established. Its causes are not inherent. So we can see in science that they rely heavily upon reason and signs, correct signs such as machines and so forth, using these machines to engage in analysis and using analysis coupled with these machines to come up with diagnosis and to come up with understanding of things. And this is also inferential prime cognition. Likewise, Buddhism does the same thing, engages in analysis heavily and looks at these things from various different angles to supply valid reasons why things are such. in the same way science does.
That data so ge machine anju zo na zo zo bul do sta ji ge do was ko thoja na lo la na tha ye na ta ji thong go ris da la tin ne an ke si re sha te bi re sha che do je ba zo de ris.
So a doctor is able to use a machine that is able to x-ray or to take samples and so forth, is able to use this machine to come up with a diagnosis of this is cancer or this is tuberculosis based on the use of this machine and whatever the test results this machine came up with. So the doctor uses inferential prime cognition to do to make a diagnosis.
And data khaji ge chilid ma den se la gundwa an chil de ne chil ge yid kha du la de ne na sa kari me kun gu du.
And then there are some doctors that will have you stick your tongue out, and they'll put the wooden thing on the tongue, and they'll look at the color and the shape and so forth, and they're able, based on the color and shape of the colors, to determine whether you are sick or not.
And data khaji mil da gundwa se min du se.
So some doctors are able to look at somebody's eye and what the shape of the different components of the eye are and what the color of the eye eyes are, and then make a diagnosis based on that sign.
And
sometimes just by looking at somebody's face, we don't necessarily need to be a professional. Just by looking at somebody's face, we can see how someone is feeling. We can infer how he or she is really doing that day. And this is inferential prime cognition. So the thing is not produced. So the actual something, meaning not produced, is not inherently produced. So its causal factors are not inherently existent. But we can't say that the causal factors are non-existent. The causal factors are existence. But that existence is not truly existence, is not truly existent. Its true existence is similar to a sky flower. So the meaning of this is a sky flower is not existent. It's not something that exists. So its true existence, or that thing's true establishment or true existence, truly exists in the same way that a sky flower exists. I know that's hard to follow, but that was exactly what Rinpoche said. So a phenomenon's true existence is the same existence as existence of a sky flower. So it's basically saying that there is no truly existent phenomena, in short. Okay, so now we'll do about 10 minutes of silent meditation, and then we'll do the ending prayers, beginning with mandala offering.